You must lose your life to save your life? What life? Throughout the Bible, there are references to the life of God, saving your life, losing your life, eternal life, everlasting life, endless life, the tree of life, etc. It can be somewhat confusing without understanding the fundamental message about life. Man's loss of the life of God, man's problems began with Adam and Eve in the garden, when they fell to the temptation of the serpent Satan, to disobey God and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had told them, "Of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For on the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Gen 2:16-17. And on that day they did die, not the physical death that we know, but a spiritual death. They died to the life of God. They were also exiled from paradise to the land of beasts, the earth, and they were prevented from eating from the tree of life, which gave them eternal life. In his writing, No Cross, No Crown, William Penn, who dwelled in the kingdom of God, describes the extent of man's loss in status, which all the religions ignore. This drove him out of paradise, and instead of being lord of the whole world, Adam becomes the most wretched vagabond of the earth. A strange change. Instead of becoming as gods, they should fall below the very beasts, in comparison of whom, even God had made them as gods. The lamentable consequence of this great defection has been an exchange of innocence for guilt and a paradise for a wilderness. But which is yet worse, in this state Adam and Eve had gotten another god than the only true and living God. And he who enticed them to all this mischief furnished them with a vain knowledge and destructive wisdom, the skill of lies and equivocations, shifts, evasions, and excuses. They had lost their plainness and sincerity, and from an upright heart, the image in which God had made man, he man became a crooked, twining, twisting serpent, the image of that unrighteous spirit of the serpent, to whose temptations he yielded up with his obedience his paradise of happiness. Nor is this limited to Adam, for all who have fallen short of the glory of God are born sons of his disobedience. The life of God was to be in fellowship with, in the presence of, in the heavenly light, in paradise, energized by God, directed by God. They lost it all. The life we have in this physical world of earth, to where Adam and Eve were banished, is a death. We are dead, as Jesus said to a would-be disciple who begged off following him in order to bury his father. Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Matt 8:22. Obviously, dead people cannot bury other people. So the dead are those dead to the life of God, not following the light of life, the life of God, Jesus, the light that enlightens all men. Now all people are in darkness, as they are in Adam in the transgression, and dead from the image of righteousness and holiness in which man was first made. God's promise to restore men of good will back to the life of God, but God promised to bring man back to him, and to bring man back to a state of the life of God that could never fall to temptation again. And I will put enmity between you, serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, a later seed, descendant of the woman, shall bruise your head, a later generation of the serpent's seed. And you, serpent, shall bruise his, the woman's seed, heel. Gen 3:15. The seed of the woman is Jesus Christ, born of a woman, the seed of Eve. The seed of the serpent is the selfish spirit in you, the sinful nature, the carnal mind. The woman's seed, Christ, was severely bruised by the seed of the serpent when he tasted death for all men. To those men who persistently seek the righteousness of God, Jesus appears to bring their salvation, as the head of the serpent is crushed by Christ in them, thus to break his power and strength, and to destroy him and his works in individual men. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Rom 16:20. The plan explained starting at the beginning, the below details how the wonderful plan of God has been realized by bringing men of goodwill back into the fullness of the life of God, who can never fall to sin again, who by his directed and energized works shows the power and love of God to all peoples of the earth, and who, having escaped the corruption of the world and its lusts, are fully trusted as sons to share the divine nature of God himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ is the Word of God, his name is the Word of God. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Pro 8:22-30. The Bible is not the Word, the Bible is Scriptures. Look how ridiculous this verse becomes if you assume the Word of God is the Bible. In the beginning was the Word the Bible, and the Word the Bible was with God, and the Word the Bible was God. John 1:1, the same was in the beginning with God. The Word, who dwelled with God in the beginning, stepped out to become Jesus, the firstborn in the dimension of the new creation. I came out from the Father. I came forth from the Father. John 16:27-28. All things were made by him, and there was nothing made without him. Him is Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:1-4. The Word, who is Jesus, is the life of God and the light of men. The life of God was lost for all men when Adam disobeyed God and fell. To have the life of God is to be restored to the righteousness and holiness of God's image, Christ. You live in Christ, Christ lives in you, controlling all your words and deeds, and this life is then eternal. Eternal life is to be a new creature in Christ on earth and forever. So Jesus, the creator of the heavens, earth, and all that is within them, who is the visible representation of the invisible God, is the life of God. As he further says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, although he might die, yet he shall live. John 11:25, many people think this means Jesus is the way to live forever. But everyone lives forever in some form of life. Even people in hell are alive. So, when Jesus says live forever, he is referring to living in the life of God, which life is forever because God's life is forever, without beginning or end. To live in the life of God is vastly superior to how we live today. It is to be in fellowship with, in the presence of, in the heavenly light, in paradise, energized by God, directed by God. To have the life of God is to be restored in God's image of true righteousness and holiness. As Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life and have it more abundantly in a superior form. John 10:10, obviously Jesus did not come to give us life as we know it because we already have life, we are alive. Neither did he come so that we could have more money, more possessions, or more things because he told us that life does not consist of an abundance of things possessed, Luke 12:15. To want more is covetousness, which is idolatry. So he came to give a superior form of life, the life of God, and this superior, eternal life is to be enjoyed while on earth, and then forever. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world men. John 6:33. Obviously men have life as we know it. The life he gives to men is a different life, the life of God. I am the bread of life. John 6:35. Obviously he is not the bread of earthly life, we buy that bread in the store. He is the bread of the life of God, a heavenly bread. Later we will show how that bread is eaten. And this is the bread in, give us our daily bread, that you have prayed 1,000 times. How superior is this new form of life that Jesus comes to bring us. In his sermon, The Spirit of Christ, the only true guide, Stephen Crisp gives us a magnificent comparison of what our life will be like when we have crucified our selfish spirit to be truly governed by Christ. Where there is a great deal of pride, malice, and envy, the Spirit of Christ will root it up, and all that evil that the enemy has planted in men, he will pluck it up and bring in everlasting righteousness and plant love in the same soul and establish and settle it. Such a one will have more joy, pleasure, and delight under the government of the Spirit of Christ in one day, than anyone can have that is governed by the evil spirit in 1,000 days. People think that studying scriptures is the key to pleasing God and to have eternal life in heaven, and so they spend their life studying the scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth and never able to obtain the life of God. As Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are those that testify of me. But you will not come to me, so that you might have life." John 5:39-40. The scriptures only testify to Jesus, the source of the life of God, Christ, which life is Jesus, who is eternal life. Scriptures are not alive, they are dead. There is no life to be obtained from studying the scriptures. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. 2 Cor 3:6. The letter is the scriptures. Only the Spirit of Christ is alive, and only the Spirit can impart the new life of God. The life of God, imparted only from the Spirit, must be obtained while on earth and is everlasting. The life of God is not getting dressed up in your best clothes, singing, praying, and reading the Bible. The life of God is to have the Spirit of Jesus Christ guiding your every word and deed, making everything you do and say perfectly virtuous. The life of God is to be restored in God's image of true righteousness and holiness, which image is Jesus Christ being within you in sufficient measure to be your true, controlling Lord. There is a small measure of the life of God, which is the light of men in all men, but it is chained down in darkness. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1, 4. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1, 5. The light of the Word, Christ, shines in the darkness of men's hearts, but men do not understand that it is Christ, gently and anonymously reasoning with them, attempting to reprove them for their evil ways. And because men do not want to give up their evil ways, F5, 13. If men believe what Christ tells them, they believe and love the truth. But if they deny the reasoning, loving their selfish, evil ways, they hate the truth and light, who is Christ. Peter told believers, "We have the steady prophetic word, the word in your heart, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star Jesus rises in your hearts." 2 Pet 1:19. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. John 1:6. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for the light. This man came as a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men might believe through it the light, Christ. John 1:7. John came to bear witness to the light of the Word, so that all men might believe through it the light, Christ. Jesus tells us, "Believe in the light, that you may become the children of light." John 12:36. This light had been prophesied to be God's salvation to the ends of the earth, to both Jews and Gentiles. It is not enough to believe that there is a light. You must believe what the light shows you to be true and then act on it. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. John 1:8. John was not the light, but he testified to the light, Christ, which is the true light that enlightens every man who comes into the world. John 1:9. All men have a small measure of the light, Christ, that shines in the darkness within them to expose the evil in their hearts. Jesus is the true light who enlightens every man. The light is in us all. We must believe its pleadings with us to be true and believe the light to be the Son of God. Believe in the light, that you may become the children of light. John 12:36. God is light. 1 John 1:5. It is not enough to believe there is a light. You must believe what the light shows you to be true. Although we have this small measure of the life of God, God considers us dead to the life of God because it does not control us. It is chained down by the dark spirit within us. That is why Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead," which means let those dead to the life of God bury those who physically die. To believe in Jesus is to believe what he shows you and tells you, not to believe in historical facts about his life, such as he was born of a virgin, walked on water, was crucified, rose from the dead, etc. That is Bible faith, faith that the Bible is true. In the Bible's book of Romans, Paul tells us that true faith is hearing the word of God, Jesus, who is in your heart to obey. That is the word of faith which the apostles preached. Rom 10:8-17, Deut 30:10-14. If you believe what he tells you, what he commands you, what he shows you, then you believe in Jesus. It is not enough to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as he claimed while on earth. You must believe what Jesus, the Son of God, the light and word within your heart, shows you to be true and then act on it. This small measure of light is Christ, the life of God, in every man that comes in the world. At some point in every man's life, this light, Christ, anonymously pleads with him to depart from evil and do what is right. If man accepts this pleading as true and then changes his conduct as shown, then God pours more of his Spirit, which is the life of God, on him. But if a man ignores this pleading, as the vast majority do, then God ignores him too, and the words that God spoke to him will be his judge when he dies. John 12:47-48. God knocks on the door of every man's heart. God is fair. God is just. God is not partial to any man. Every man has his day of visitation and therefore is without excuse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Rev 3:20. The door is your heart. The knock is his gentle, anonymous pleading with you to depart from evil. To open the door is to believe his pleading to be true and to repent from the evil that he exposes, changing your conduct appropriately. To sup with him is to receive more of his Spirit that he pours on you in response to your obedience in heeding his reproofs. From the word of the Lord within, every man has heard the call to repent. Christ has preached his gospel in the heart of every man on earth. Every man is without excuse. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached in every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Call 1:23, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, truly, their sound went into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Rom 10:18, PSA 19, 1-4, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is to have you, and you must master it. Gen 4:6-7, and know the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, God preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you will all nations be blessed. Gal 3:8, at some point in our early lifetime, Christ, the light, anonymously tells all of us that if we turn from evil and do what is right, we will do well. To do well is to have the life of God increase in us. God looks at those who show a sincere interest in following truth, doing good, and avoiding evil, and knows who is capable of seeking him with all their heart and strength. To those men and women of good will, he gives a taste of his goodness, a taste of the world to come, a spiritual experience to create a hunger in them for more of him. If you have not yet experienced the hunger to greatly seek more of him, then make God a promise that if he will give you a spiritual experience, creating a hunger for more of him, that you will not fail to seek his will for you with all your heart and strength. If you ask that in humility, you will experience a taste of the glorious God. If you had the hunger and gave up because you could not find the true way, you can renew your efforts with success. As the word of the Lord within said, he will give root to those who seek him a third time. If a man or woman is totally obedient to the light, he will become a child of God, a child of the light. But if he hates the light because it reproves his selfish lifestyle and behavior, then he dies in his sins. And when a man dies still sinning, Christ the light steps out of him, leaving the man in total darkness, which is hell. Then the measure of light that the man had is given to another, who improved his measure of the life of God, his talent, while alive. The result? Everlasting destruction, separated from the face of the Lord and away from his the glorious power. 2:1-9, man is cut off from the life, power, and glory of God, dwelling in total darkness. From the word of the Lord within, when the light leaves, you will panic. All the ungodly will panic. Until we lose that small amount of the life of God within us, we have no idea what comfort and support it has been to us in our lifetime. There is more information on this subject in the separate webpage, The Parable of the Talents Explained, as well as Is There Hope for All Men and Women? We either increase the life of God within us so that we are restored to the righteousness and holiness of God's image, Christ, us living in Christ, Christ living in us, controlling all our words and deeds, or we lose our life of God. Our hearts first have to be cleansed of the evil within that defiles us. Once we obtain the life of God in full control of our words and deeds, we have eternal life because the life of God, Christ, is eternal. Eternal life is to be a new creature in Christ on earth and forever. This new life and new creature is not to be imagined. As the word of the Lord within said within, the new life is as radically different as a man who has lived underground his whole life, suddenly coming above ground to see the sun, the sky, the plants, the animals, the wind, the stars. If anyone is standing with a new heart, he is a new creature. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Jer 31:33, cast away from you all your transgressions by which you have transgressed, and get a new heart, a new mind, and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? As 18:31, how do we increase this life of God within us so that it controls us? We seek to hear more of his words because the words we hear him speak to us, which words we believe and act upon, our spirit and impart the life of God to us, as Paul said. This is the word of faith that we preach, Rom 10:8-17. It is the spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life-giving. John 6:63, the words you hear him speak to you are his life, the bread of the life of God, your daily heavenly bread, which words come from the mouth of God and by which man must live. Matt 4:4, from the word of the Lord within, I am the light of the world. Whoever continues to feed on me shall have the light of life. for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. 2 Cor 3:6, the letter is the Bible or the law. From the word of the Lord within, it is the spirit who gives life, nothing else. The flesh profits nothing. If you live after the flesh, you will die, die to the life of God. John 6:63, Rom 8:8-13, reading, attending services, singing, praying are all works of the flesh. Reading the Bible builds your hope, but it does not give you life. Reading about sin and the law kills our self-confidence. By identifying and calling attention to our selfish, evil behaviors performed by men dead to the life of God. Reading the Bible cannot impart the Spirit or the life of God to you. Reading the Bible cannot make you capable of loving God with all your heart, or loving your neighbor as yourself, or cleansing you of sin. Only the Spirit can do any of that. The words we hear spoken to us are revelations from God to us, as He promised that He would teach us all things and lead us into all truth. Every revelation we receive increases our faith, which motivates to spend more time waiting on God to have the Spirit impart the life of God to us, with words we hear spoken to us that are then engrafted into our heart. James 1:21. Paul also clearly tells us that we must hear Jesus and be taught by Jesus in order to attain the life of God. Therefore, this I say and testify in the Lord, that from this time forward you must not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. But you have learned differently from Christ, assuming you have actually heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. F4:17-21, we sit and wait, watch, listen, hear, and then we obey His commands and keep His teachings. As Jesus said, there is only one thing needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her, to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His word. Luke 10:39-42, we too must sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His words, the words He speaks to us from within our hearts that are spirit and life-giving. We too must sit silently and wait on the Lord to listen, to hear, and obey. From the word of the Lord within, all things said and done you must hear, ears must hear. If those who hear will obey, their progress will be swift. I shall open up the doors of life to him that proceeds. You are my disciple if you do what I say. Listen to and obey my voice, and I will be your God. Salvation comes to those who heed and obey. Salvation comes to those who wait. Wait, expose yourself to his commands, and hear. We do this as often as possible, thus to make seeking God the highest priority in our life, which Jesus also told us to do. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matt 6:33, concerning seeking God, George Fox wrote, "The Father is in you all, Christ is in you, and the kingdom of heaven is in you. There, in your hearts, is where you will find them all. Know him there searching your hearts, and find him there trying your minds and hearts. Incline your ears, and give ear to him there, who will render to every one of you according to your words and works, whether they are good or evil. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him." Lamb 3:25, you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Deuteronomy 4:29, and to continue waiting on and obeying him is to abide in him. If you continue in my word, teachings and commands heard, then you are truly my disciples. And then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32, if you continue to wait, watch, and listen to Jesus, who is the word and light within your heart, you are a true disciple, who will produce the fruit of the Spirit, who will be guided into all truth, and then will have become free of all sin. Abide, dwell, remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he produces much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is thrown out like a branch which withers. These branches are gathered up, cast into the fire, and are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear, produce, or bring forth much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show that you are truly my disciples, true followers. John 15:4-8. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, quietness, and confident trust forever. Patience, including longsuffering, steadfastness, and perseverance. Kindness, including morality and integrity. Goodness, faith, gentleness, including meekness and humility, and self-control, mastery of sensual appetites, passions, and desires. Against these there is no law. Gal 5:22-23, those branches without fruit are thrown into the fire. When you have produced the fruit of the Spirit, you walk in obedient love to the prompting of God, fulfilling the law, and the law with all its do's and don'ts no longer applies because you are following the continuous, real-time commands of God's Spirit, just as Jesus did on the earth, demonstrating, "Thy will be done." The receipt of the fruit of the Spirit is not to be imagined or presumed, it is to be experienced. From the word of the Lord within, you must produce fruit, much fruit. True followers bring forth fruit. Until you witness receiving faith from Christ, you are under the law. Until you witness the law fulfilled in you, you are under the law. There are no laws when you are under complete control of the Spirit. You walk in love and obedience as prompted, you don't walk in restricted flesh. By waiting on God, the Spirit of God teaches a man to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly. And then purifying a man of sin, this grace of God leads us to repentance, change of conduct, which repentance leads to life, the life of God. God has also granted repentance to life to the Gentiles. Acts 11:18, the fruit of the Spirit comes after the works of the flesh have been crucified on the inward cross, the Spirit destroying sexual immorality, including adultery and fornication, impurity, lust, idolatry, including covetousness, sorcery, hatred, arguments, jealousy, anger, ambition, divisiveness, factions, envy, drunkenness, revelry, partying, and the like. Gal 5:19-21. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh, the sinful nature, with its passions and desires, lusts and affections. Gal 5:24. The life of God, Christ, is only possessed in full measure by a heart that has been cleansed, washed, and purified of all that defiles it. Grace both shows you the secret sins of your heart and then removes them. To daily wait on God and follow His orders is the cross that the Lord told us everyone must pick up daily to be His disciple and follow Him. It is the inward cross of self-denial. As you crucify your selfish, evil spirit on the inward cross, the life of God, Jesus, is formed in you, always bearing about in our flesh the same death of the inward cross of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are constantly progressing to death, crucifying the old man for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus might be revealed in our mortal flesh. 2 Cor 4:10-11, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you, Gal 4:19, as you abide in Him, Christ increases, until finally you have so much of the life of God that Christ is resurrected in you, while still on the earth. And when we were dead in our sins, He brought us to life in union and fellowship with Christ. It is through grace that you are saved, and has raised us up together with Christ, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. F2:5-6, in whom you also will be circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision performed by Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, you will be raised with Him through your belief of the operation of God, who has raised Him from the dead. Col 2:11-12, this is how the love of God was shown to us, by God sending His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. 1 John 4:9, after we have been crucified and have been baptized with fire into death, we are raised with the Lord, a new creature, living in Jesus and God, and they living in us. And the Word becomes flesh and dwells in us, and we behold His glorious splendor, the glorious splendor of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14, if you will be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Col 3:1, so Christ is the life of God, and we must labor in this life to possess Jesus completely, in order for Him to be our true Lord and Master, controlling all our words and deeds in this life on earth and forever in the next life. And if we don't increase Christ within us to become our ruling Lord of all words and deeds, we lose the life of God completely when He steps out of us after death. We must lose our fleshly, selfish life to save and increase the life of God within us. And if we try to save our selfish, fleshly life by ignoring His commands to turn from evil and endure to the end, we will lose the life of God within us when it is taken away in hell. However, if we lose our fleshly life by the baptism of fire and death, we will gain the life of God forever. Death occurs when you undergo the baptism of fire and death. For details of the death and the baptism of fire and death, see the footnote to Matthew 3:11-12. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matt 16:25, he who loves his life shall lose it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. John 12:25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospels will save it. Mark 8:35, he who finds his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matt 10:39, whoever tries to preserve his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Luke 17:33, this is a faithful saying. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. 2 Tim 2:1, for whoever desires to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Luke 9:24, if any man comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:26, from the word of the Lord within, blessed be the man who is tired of self. You must lose your life to save it. You must hate your life to lose your life. Few will be saved because of their love of life. The sacrifice of life has been given to the few who would lose their life to save it. The sacrifice of life is a twist of fate. The sacrifice of life is given to those who can afford it. Thou art the sacrifice. One actually dies to enter the camp. He comes in everlasting flames. God reveals himself to his true servants. God reveals himself in fire. By fire does he make those truly seeking to be his body. All dies when the word is touched. They lost their life by me taking their life. One dies to see the Lord. The time will come, and now is when the dead shall hear the Son of God and live. You will hear his voice when he calls you. Christ is actually resurrected in every person that comes to him and obeys him repetitively. You have not experienced grace until you have been raised with him. With persistent and faithful obedience, you too will be raised. Many have come, many will be raised. You are raised to a new life, not just an imitation. He is one with us and ever present. Christianity leaves people living in the lusts of their flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the thoughts of their minds, just like the rest of men. They are left in their sinful natures, walking according to the flesh, whose aim is satisfying things of the flesh, in their lusts, desires, affections, pleasures, pride, anger, vanity, fear, worries, plans, etc. They are left walking in the ways of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, F2:2-3. If you live after the flesh, the sinful nature, you will die. Rom 8:13. By Christianity supposedly saving you in your sins, you have just saved your fleshly life, and you have lost your chance to find the superior life of God. And so, unless you take up your cross to crucify your sinful nature, you will die to the life of God. Jesus is recorded 3 times saying that those whom he did not know would be rejected. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who work iniquity, sin, lawlessness, or wickedness. Matt 7:21-23, strive to enter in at the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. And once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, you will stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he will answer and say to you, I do not know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you or where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, wrongdoers, still sinning. Luke 13:24-27, afterwards the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open the door for us to enter. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Matt 25:11-12, from the word of the Lord within, I only know those who have been crucified. He knows everything, but his knowing you is for him to become one with you, which occurs after you have been crucified. Unless cleansed by the Lord's Spirit that destroys sin within man, every man's heart starts filled with evil, filled with sin, defiled and disqualified for heaven. All defiled men are banned from heaven. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Mark 7:6. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lack of restraint, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within a man and defile him. Mark 7, 21-23, and in no way shall there enter into it heaven anything that is defiled, Rev 21:27. The Lord is warning those who think they are Christians and still sin. 1. He doesn't know you, and 2. He will cast you into outer darkness, banned from heaven at judgment. Salvation occurs when you are one with Christ and God. Once you are in union, it is permanent. After you have been crucified and have become one with Jesus and the Father in union with them, then you belong to them and you know the Lord's voice, which is like thunder over waters. The voice of the Lord, like thunder over the waters, is described in many Old Testament passages. This is radically different than the small, still voice we hear from within our hearts from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Word of the Lord within speak with words from Jesus, so we are hearing from the Son of God. But until we can truly hear the voice of the Lord, we will not know for sure it is the Lord speaking to us. From the Word of the Lord within, you will always have doubts until you hear His voice. My voice is like thunder over waters. You will hear His voice when He calls you. We will hear the Lord's voice like thunder over waters for the first time after we have submitted to the baptism of fire and death to then be called forth and resurrected with Him as a new creature. Then, as John 10:3-5 states, we will know His voice, He will lead us out of the world to the kingdom, and we will flee from other voices. When you hear His voice for the first time, you have passed over from death to life. And once you have heard His voice like thunder over waters, you will always know whether or not it is the Lord speaking to you. We first have to listen to the Holy Spirit and the Word of the Lord within to hear and obey His many teachings and commands. Then, with long persistence and patience in doing obedient works of repentance, we experience the baptism of fire and death, to then hear the voice of the Lord as we pass from death to life. Until then, we have to be on our guard to not be deceived by the enemy, pretending to be the Lord speaking to us. Based on the advice of Edward Burruff, click to read A Giant in the Early Quakers, until we can distinguish between the voice of the Lord and the voice of the enemy, we should do nothing for the Lord but follow His commands asterisk to repent. And William Penn wrote, though it is the duty of all to walk in the light and to wait for it that by it they may be instructed in the way of life and salvation, yet it is they only who are actually led by it, the light that can rightly discern between the false spirits and the true. Any command to repent from the Lord should be first pure, then peaceable, fair, gentle, easily accepted, full of mercy and good fruits, immediately understood, and sincere. James 3:17, by way of review. To be guided or led by the light must first arise in your heart like a magnificent star, so that you are shown everything to do and told everything to say. The unmistakable arising of the light comes from faith in the voice. You may hear the Lord tell you to go ahead with your considering to buy something or do something that you feel is necessary. And providing it is nothing that you know to be wrong, or it is nothing He has told you not to do in the past, you can follow His suggestions before you can distinguish His voice. If you don't need what you are considering to purchase, He may plainly tell you, you don't need it. If it is not necessary to do something you are considering, He may tell you, it's not necessary. If it is necessary and or needed, He may encourage you to proceed. Jesus knows you when He frees you from all sin, purifying you, so you then are ruled by Him in every word and deed, becoming one who follows in obedience, the Lamb wherever He goes, whatever He commands. Rev 14:4. You can only be released from the bondage of sin by hearing His spoken words to you, which are spirit and life-giving, and then obeying those commands you have heard. You can see how important it is to listen and hear the word of the Lord within you. With persistence in listening to the Spirit, it will teach you to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, redeeming us from all iniquity, lawless deeds, sin, and purify for Himself a people who are His very own, zealous for good works. Tit 2:11-14, when we enter into union with Christ and the Father, as Jesus is resurrected within us to form an entirely new creature and all old things having passed away, we are translated into the kingdom of God. And then we eat from the tree of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Rev 2:7. Then He showed me the pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits and yielded its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Rev 22:1-2 from William Dewsbury, a kingdom-dwelling early Quaker, written in 1655, thus through the righteous law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I was and am made free from the body of sin and death. And through these great tribulations, my garments are washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, who has led me into the New Jerusalem, where no one enters that works abomination or speaks a lie, but those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here my soul now feeds upon the tree of life, which I had so long hungered and thirsted after, that stands in the paradise of God. Here there is no more curse nor night, but the Lord God and the Lamb are my light and life forever and ever. And I witness that I am regenerated and born again of the immortal seed, and having partaken of the first resurrection, over such the second death has no power. We will also have the light of life, so that we see clearly what God would have us do and say, always speaking and acting with perfect virtue. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world, every man. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12, the light is evidence of the life of God. With the life of God possessed in full measure, now your life becomes assisting God in shaping the creation to his perfect, loving will. Now you are able to do works for God which honor him, glorify him, and bring him pleasure. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, lawless deeds, sin, and purify for himself a people who are his very own, zealous for good works. Tit 2:14, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has ordained before that we should walk in doing good works. F2:10, now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Heb 13:20-21, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing in all things, being fruitful in every good work. Col 1:10, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matt 5:16, but he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be shown to have been produced, formed, and powered through God. John 3:21, for it is God who brings forth in you both the will to work and the works as commanded, according to his good pleasure. Phil 2:13, these works, done in the life of God, are to your Creator's pleasure and to your ultimate joy. Following the Lord's continual directions in obedient faith is supremely satisfying because you know every word you speak, and every action you take is perfectly virtuous and impeccable, demonstrating the power and love of God to all. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. PSA 16:11, that he would grant to us, that being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Luke 1:74-75. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18, when you are in the life of God, you are in Christ because Christ is the life. John and Paul explain who is in Christ. Whoever obeys his spoken words obeys the Lord's command spoken to him. Truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. 1 John 2:5. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. 1 John 4:12. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Rom 8:1. If you are walking after the impulses of the flesh, walking according to your own carnal mind, you are not in Christ Jesus. So then those who are in the flesh living in their sinful nature cannot please God. Rom 8:8. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Cor 5:17. The world passes away and disappears along with its desires and lusts. 1 John 2:17. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have past tense come. 1 Cor 10:11, when you are translated into the kingdom of heaven, as Paul and others were, your sight and consciousness are no longer in the dimension of this physical world. The Apostle Paul helps us understand the kingdom of God within and among us, writing in the Bible's book of Acts, God is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:27-28, but we are not aware of this because we are in a lower physical dimension. The physical dimension shares the same space as the higher spiritual dimensions, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. F4:6. To enter the kingdom of God within and around us is to be dramatically translated to the spiritual dimension of consciousness and sight, in union with Christ and God, but walking on earth by the light of God, walking on the earth with the eyes of God. The world passes away from our sight when the kingdom is entered. Paul said, "We no longer walk by sight, but by obedient faith, as the Spirit of God prompts and leads us." Jesus asked the Father to not take his followers out of the world, but he wanted them to be with him, to see his glory. So we walk on the earth, but our sight is in the kingdom of God. To enter the kingdom of God is to have righteousness, peace, and joy. And this peace from the God of peace is quietness and confident trust, unquestionable assurance, forever. Rom 14:17, Issa 32:17. If you have not yet read this site's online Bible of John 14 and John 17, with the commentary and footnotes that clearly show the forgotten promises of union with God, then be sure to do so. For guidelines on how to wait on God and what to expect on your journey of increasing faith, read How to Benefit from the Changing Power of God by Waiting on the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service and worship. Rom 12:1. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.